Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 322 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strothers, back in the saddle. And with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
Well, lad, here we are, man. Sorry I wasn't here last week. Took a week vacation, and it was great. It was great, great. But I understand that Tom and your friend Rashad did a real good job on the show. So thanks to them for filling in.
Yeah, they did. It was a lot of fun, and I always like hanging out with those two dudes. And Rashad, per usual, had some hot takes. People are talking about it.
Yeah, he had some hot take about Knives Out or Knives Out 2, whatever that was actually called.
Yeah.
Wasn't Glass
Onion?
Yes, thank you. Wasn't that good and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's always something with you, man.
You got to love them.
You know, hot takes. I don't think oxygen's that important. Just saying. I mean, water, who decided it who was? Needs it? Yeah, you break through the ice wall and NASA was trying to blow up the firmament with nuclear missiles. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you may have guessed that my entire TikTok feed is nothing but moon landing decriers and flat earthers. Thing, and it's like, I cannot possibly click not interested more times than I have.
That happens on. I tell you what's the worst aggravator of the algorithm is Facebook. I don't know what the hell happens on that site, but if you like accidentally click on something once, you're seeing that shit for 6 years.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Dude,
I don't want to see this. Don't like it. Don't care. Yep. Don't care.
Not for me, thanks. But yeah, I don't know why. I'm sick of it. The only reason I get on TikTok is because I post videos for Dinner with the Healers.
Mm-hmm. How's the show doing, by the way? Doing good still?
It's doing great, man. I'm real pleased with the numbers that we get. We've got, and I mean, new listeners every week, and the numbers just keep on climbing. Much awesome, like this show.
Hey,
in a very inverse way. So, hey,
our YouTube's doing pretty good. If you didn't know,
sweet, that's good to hear. Yeah, that's good to hear. So, hey, listen, real quick, we don't mention this up in the front of the show enough, and I shame on me for that. But be sure to check out patreon.com/ the Bad Motivators. There's some really good stuff going on over there. I did an episode of That's Metal recently that was all about studio musicians, and I wasn't planning on it happening, but it basically turned into an episode about Steve Lukather, the most prolific studio guitarist of all time. You may say, hey, that name sounds familiar. Nobody's saying that, but somebody might say that and be like, he's from the band Toto, and you would be correct. But he's also played on about a trillion other albums, so good on him.
That's impressive, a trillion. Wow.
Yeah.
I on Patreon as well this week, I released my first ever episode with one of my children, and it was my son. We watched the latest episode of The Mandalorian together, and he's been begging me for like, it feels like years at this point, to like be on video and do stuff with me. And I'm always very hesitant, you know, because I'm just like, you know,
it's sure, not like, man, I get it.
I'm not like, it's not like one of those things where you're like trying to preserve his innocence or anything. But the thing is for a long time, I've gotten him out of it now. Thankfully, to parental controls on things, blocking him out of YouTube. Uh-huh. He was a little too into it, and I could see his little mannerisms changing to be more like these YouTube kids, and I was just like, just not about it. But he did pretty good on the show. We had a good time. He was a little nervous at first, and I couldn't find my Blue Yeti. So we had to use my Shure mic together. And as you know, that's not very good for it.
Yeah, that's not very easy.
So you had to like sit on my lap or like stand in front of me the whole time, but it was fun. And which made it more of an interactive experience. Like, you know, like when the fighting was happening and the Mandalorians were like shanking people, I was like, start shanking him and stuff. It was good stuff. But,
well, speaking of the Mandalorian, Yeah. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the last episode, and we're going to talk about what we think will happen on the season finale, which will be out by the time anybody hears this, unless you're one of those crazies that gets it at the second it comes out, which is about an hour and a half before the new episode of The Mandalorian drops. I would encourage you to hurry up, but if you didn't hurry up, this message isn't going to be applicable. So, Cruiser,
yes, sir.
Let's talk about The Mandalorian. Tell me what you thought about this most recent episode.
I thought it was, for one, quite good, right? It was a very emotional and impactful episode. Lots of pieces moved like all at once in this episode. The movement was way more than any of the other episodes so far, even though there was some quite a few slow moments in it, you know. The introduction of IG-12 was one, hilarious. Yes. And two, so true to how a kid would react in that moment.
Oh,
they've done a really good job. I mean, people have had their gripes with the season of The Mandalorian, and understandably in a lot of cases, like, I get it. But like, The one thing they have nailed is the father-son dynamic and how kids like to just annoy the shit out of their parents.
Yes, yes.
And when Grogu finally had a voice box, boy, did that dude use it. And it was awesome. Yeah. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That, yeah.
I want to say, though, as far as I know, we can talk more about the impactful moments when they happen, but the introduction of the Shadow Council, you know, the Praetorian Guards, like Bo-Katan leading the Mandalorians, the Mandalore, Moff Gideon making his triumphant return. Like, there's so much that happened in this episode that it was hard to, I did a reaction video to it, but it was like hard. I kept like, oh, this is happening now. This is happening now. Like, you know, what do I say? You know?
Right.
And it was just crazy. And of course, we got to talk about Paz in a little bit, but
yeah.
What'd you think?
That was quite sad.
Yeah.
Seeing how that went down. So just in general, as far as the episode goes, I enjoyed it. I like it when Star Wars gets stupid like that. Like in the last episode, I missed talking about it. But, you know, you had Jack Black in there with Lizzo.
Oh, so
and then
good.
Suddenly there's Meatloaf and Dio were there. And I'm like, heck yeah, man, this is for reals right now. Yeah. But I did like how wacky it was. I liked what they did with the IG droid. It's dumb. Mm-hmm. But it's so Star Wars-y.
Yes.
And they really took some wild chances with this, which I'm glad they did, because it would be so easy to just stick with the formula. Mm-hmm. Stick with the formula. Okay, well, we're just going to keep turning out the same thing over and over. Yeah, it seemingly went off the rails here and there, but I had a fun time watching it.
Yeah, for sure. Go ahead, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all right. Grogu is as cute as can be still. Mm-hmm. And watching him develop his own personality and that sort of thing, I think that's something we all wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
And the interaction with Din and all of that as father and son, I think that's not a thing we've had in Star Wars.
Mm-mm.
I mean, every father and son interaction we've had has been, well, Dad, thanks for being a jerk. You went out to get space cigarettes and never came home.
Yeah.
And So once it got down to the action.
Yeah.
And they're in this place. You see the Shadow Council. You see Hux's dad.
Yeah.
Brendel. And all of that. That was really cool. And then you see Moff Gideon with his Darth Maul looking helmet and the whole bit, and the trooper suits that are meant to combat Mandalorians specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was awesome. And seeing Paz Vizsla go down, that was harsh. That sucked. And especially the way he went of just wiping out all of those guys and then being faced with the Red Brigade. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, he went down swinging.
Yeah. I mean, I think he went down the way Mandalorians want to go down. You know what I mean? He got the warrior's death.
Right.
And it was protecting his people. And somebody was mentioned online, you know, he's probably the son of the other Vizsla from the Clone Wars who was evil, you know what I mean? And for him to, and who also possessed the Darksaber at one point, you know?
What was his name? Pre Vizsla?
Yeah, Pre Vizsla. I always get mixed up because there's the Tar Vizsla who's like the Jedi Mandalorian that we've only heard a little tidbit about, you know?
Right.
But but Pre Vizsla, who was voiced by Jon Favreau and also who Paz Vizsla is voiced by.
This season.
It wasn't?
No, I didn't realize that, but King Tom put me in my place.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, originally.
Correct.
Yeah, why would I check again? I mean, I thought he sounded a little bit different, but he was always modulated, so it's hard to tell anyway.
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
But the fact that he has that, you know, that those genes in his body, and he still was like, you know, and he obviously has a longing for the Darksaber, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you go back to Boba Fett, and the fact that he sacrificed himself to save the people who were possessing it and who were going on, who want to essentially lead Mandalorians into a combined, you know, brotherhood or whatever, supposedly. It was very cool. I mean, they made it very cool. It was sad, but like as soon as he said, "All right, I'll hold him back," like before he closed himself off, I said on the video, I said, he's gone. There is going to be his heroic send off.
Yeah,
but I think there's a good. And then, you know, we'll get to our predictions in a second, but I think there's a reason why it works out for the story that he dies. But the way he went was probably about as cool as you could go out, though. You know?
Yeah. Knowing that he did all that damage and it took 3 Praetorian guards to get him, and
he did the classic pull them towards him when they're stabbed through him to choke him. He was already like, I'm dead, but you're coming with me.
Yeah. I hated seeing Din Djarin get captured and beaten and all of that.
Yeah. And seeing Grogu's reaction.
Yeah. And he wanted to run in there and save his dad. And I kind of thought something like that might end up happening. Like he was going to flip out and use the Force.
So did I.
And go full on dark side on him for a minute or something.
Just like lightning shooting out his little fingertips. Yeah. Have a Rey moment.
Slightly limited power. he's just a kid. That's why.
Yeah.
But anyhow, man, I don't know what to expect for the season finale. I do not think that Din Djarin is going to fail to make it out of the episode. No. They just released this movie, or just announced this movie. Mm-hmm. They're not going to kill him off. I just don't see that being feasible. I mean, hey, I have been wrong before.
Yeah.
There's a chance I'm wrong right now.
Yeah, I mean,
but I don't think that I'm not.
I don't think any of us would have. I don't think any of us necessarily predicted that Luke Skywalker was going to die in Last Jedi, right? Or maybe we did. I can't remember. It's been forever now.
Oh God, that reminds me of something.
What?
The season finale of The Mandalorian season 2, when Luke Skywalker shows up and all this, and then not too long after that, they announced the Hot Toys Deluxe Luke Skywalker, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Well, the short end of this long story is, guess what I got charged for today?
Uh-oh.
I could have sworn I canceled that. And when I went to go look, it's no changes can be made to this transaction. So hooray for me. I've got a $300-something Luke Skywalker coming that can go in a box right next to the $300-something Luke on crate I have, right next to the $400 life-size, super accurate Grogu.
Yeah.
Yep, nailed it.
Good job, Strothers.
Sorry, family. Up. No vacation for us this year. But anyway, I don't think that he's going to get killed in this. I really don't. I don't know how much of a cliffhanger they'll give us. And unfortunately, if they do, they'll just have some series that it will undo the cliffhanger in the first episode. And then the people who don't watch that will come back in the next season of The Mandalorian and be like, how did he get away?
Yeah. I mean, I can see it because they mentioned Thrawn in this episode, right? Mm-hmm. I could see somehow he's, I don't know, taken by Gideon. But I think Gideon's going down. I really do. I think he's going down in a big way this next episode. Either by Bo-Katan or Grogu or both at the same time. But I think he's going to meet his demise.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, even let's say Ahsoka shows up. Somehow, yeah. For some reason. I mean, because
somehow Ahsoka returned.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Thanks, Charlie. No, he was the one who said Sith magic, something, something.
Yeah.
But
random words here.
Yeah. Yes. Why don't we go pull some Holdo maneuvers?
Yeah.
Worst delivered line ever. Yeah. So anyhow. Anyhow, pardon me. So how that's all going to end, I don't know. So let's talk about this.
Well, I want to say really quick, the fact that Gideon didn't kill him on the spot right there in front of his whole clan and said, no, put him in a debriefing room tells you like, okay, well, he's getting out of that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you don't just, I mean, that's the classic bad guy, bad move. Like you kill the hero on the spot. Otherwise, Austin Powers taught us this. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I think that, yeah, that's a classic James Bond thing. I'm going to tell you my entire plan and reasoning behind it as this laser slowly makes its way to cutting you in half.
I'm going to put him in an easily escapable situation and assume everything with the plan. What? Right.
So, what do you think the title of the previous episode, or the episode we're talking about, was? Spies. Who do you think that's referring to?
The armorer.
You think so?
It's I'm pretty sure I've been pretty vocal since the beginning of this series that there's something off with the armorer, and like you can't just show up with like Zabrak looking horns on your Mandalorian helmet, and I'm not gonna be thinking about the Clone Wars the entire time. And I'm not saying she's the lady that was palling around with Gar Saxon and stuff. Rook something. I forget her first name, but she was a part of Clan Rook. She very well could be, but there's so many things about her that have always been off to me because she's always and other people have spoken about it, but she's always conveniently like stayed behind when there was some kind of reason for the Mandalorians to go somewhere or whatever.
Right.
She always, remember how cold and callous she was when she was collecting all the dead Mandalorian armor? Like she was just like, yeah, this happens. Here we go. I can melt it down and give it to the next foundlings or whatever else. Like she just really seemed to like be playing a role. And whenever we, like, you know, we've always been really confused about the always got to have your helmet on thing.
Right.
And then, like, it's a pretty good cover if you want to hide your identity forever and to say that your religion is you're following the always of the Mandalorians where you never take your helmet off or you're no longer a Mandalorian. So,
fair.
And then when she all of a sudden in this episode said, this episode said, I'm going to go with you on this, you know, like she was one of the first ones to say, I'll go. It was so out of character for her character, you know, that thus far, like it always seemed like she needs to stay behind so she can preserve like the foundation of building Mandalorian armor. That seemed to kind of be what her important part was.
Right.
And we've never gotten a name from her other than the Armorer. And then in this last episode, the way they made it so ominous that she was traveling up to the ships, you know, to take the wounded people back, and uh-huh. and then nothing happened. This kind of like just died off. There was no need for the tension because nothing happened. It just seemed very ominous. And the way she was like, well, we were sanctioned off on this moon. That's how we survived, you know, alone with all these other people. That's how we survived. And so she just got to conveniently just mold these people into what she wanted them to do. And she seems to be so callous in them living and dying. You know right. what I mean?
But at this, while I understand that, while I do agree with that, I do think that that's sort of the Mandalorian way. It's like we're warriors. Our function is this. This is what we do. Sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But you go down swinging and that's your...
Yeah.
That's your history. That's your story. That's your legacy. That's the word I'm looking for.
I can
and
see that.
I mean, you make a great case. And let's face it, she does have this whole mysterious way about her. Mm-hmm. And I can see where... I guess what I'm saying is I wonder if it's a red herring. I wonder if they've well made it so, not that they're hitting you over the head with it, right? Mm-hmm. I don't mean that. But they have pointed at it in a way that you make a strong case for. I wonder if that's the thing. I think it's going to turn out that it's Grogu.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be anything nuts like Greef Karga.
No.
I don't think that it's going to be... I don't know.
The like really previous leader of the Mandalorians? I don't think so either. I don't think he's dead. I think he had general intent to go get help when he left. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he realized they were in a precarious situation. My son even came to the conclusion, my 8-year-old son came to the conclusion himself that whenever the Armorer left, that... He gave his little he thought speech at the end of the episode. He goes, I think that the Armorer, whenever she left to go up to the ship, she let Gideon know where they were and to be ready for him. I was like, good on you, Maxwell.
Well, I mean, it's definitely a possibility. Yeah.
But I'm thinking the same thing you are too, though. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but like the same thing too, where you're like, it's so obvious at some point that maybe they wouldn't do it. But the fact is they've been pretty like not really like ever since we saw Grogu and they haven't really been really mysterious with their big reveals. You know what I mean? Like they haven't been like, even though seeing Luke Skywalker was crazy, I think we all kind of thought it was going to be Luke Skywalker.
I mean, who else would it be? Yeah, I mean, we're all, at least if not expecting it, definitely hoping it.
Yes.
And anybody who says that wasn't the general consensus is lying to themselves.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Because they had already seen Ahsoka. Mm. Like, who else would it be?
Right. So, okay. But it says spies. The other one, are we talking about what's her face?
Yeah, it has to
Gideon.
Moff Gideon's second in command has to
be. Yeah, whatever, her girl Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So real quick, while we're talking about red herring, I want to mention something. I've been watching the series Animal Control, which features, I can't even think of his name now. Jeff from... Community. We're big Community fans.
Uh-huh.
And I can't... I've got a bit of a headache.
Okay. The big, tall, handsome guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy from The Soup?
So he's essentially the same character in this. Like, and there's little references. Like he mentioned...
Joel McHale.
Thank you. He mentions taking... I took Spanish at community college, which is the whole premise of the very first episode of the show. But one of the things they were talking about is they had a goose that they got called on, and like everybody's fighting for it because their goal is getting an animal call that's a pun. Sounds like this is a real wild goose chase. That was like the holy grail. And so they're like, well, you got the something dog. Yeah, but you got the red herring. And she said, fair, but that turned out to be nothing. And they kept going. And I'm like,
I bet that was straight nothing. Up bliss for you.
Yeah, that was, I was quite happy. Okay. So let me ask you this. The armorer, she's the bad guy. What happens in this final episode?
Well, and I want to say one more point was I think Paz Vizsla dying is it's a couple things. One, it's good if it's good for the ability for the Mandalorians to come out of this, you cannot take your helmet off shit. Because he was probably the biggest zealot next to the armorer about it. You know what I mean? And at least the most vocal, right? And throwing out apostates left and right, you know, that kind of thing. But I think with Paz Vizsla gone and the armorer being outed, I think it ushers in a new era where the Mandalorians can actually be one instead of a fractured people. Because also the way Moff Gideon reacted to the information about them working together, because that can't be like they're warring factions and they're against each other. It's like he knew, like it was almost like he had something to do with it, like the way he was speaking about it, like because you know how he's so sure, he's always so emperor about it, like five steps ahead. You know what I mean? He was very like, that can't be this. Something fucking wrong with this.
So let me
my lady on the inside.
Do you think that he is secretly a Mandalorian? I mean, because obviously his whole armor thing was very much modeled after.
I've thought about that too. Yeah, I think that would be a cool reveal, and I think it would make sense for the Mandalorians, and it would make even more sense as to why the armorer would side with him,
right?
If that was the case. But she just can't go around wearing Darth Maul horns on her helmet, man. She just can't do it.
It's definitely curious.
Yes.
But let me ask you this. What does she get out of the deal? Why is this a direction she wants to go?
I think because you think about how she was so willing and so ready for Bo-Katan to join the cause when she showed up. And you think about how she's like, okay, you join the way, but we need you to take your helmet off so you can communicate with these other people and walk both ways. And it's like, okay, I think if anything, what she wants to do is get rid of the rest of the Mandalorians who have lost the way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To not bring them all into it, because you could tell that this is not going to be a thing that all of them accept. And maybe that if there's anything to gain from it, it'd be that, or she was just one of the members of Death Watch, and most of the members of Death Watch thought the rest of the Mandalorians were no longer warriors. You remember that whole thing with Previs?
Right. Right.
They were all too willing to sacrifice their fellow Mandalorians. So, anyways, the blown up of her homeworld and stuff is all kind of weird, but like there's definitely some stretches made, and there's definitely some reasons as to why she wouldn't be the betrayer in the end. But I think if anything, it's to say that I did this because the Mandalorians have lost the way, and this is the only way forward, is to basically call the herd.
Right. Okay. And yeah, I mean, yeah. So, okay. Oh, I just had a thought and now it's gone. Come on, Eric. Poof. Rein it in. Call the herd. Something, something. Get rid of the things with the thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think she lives through the episode, the finale?
If she's the spy, no.
Who else dies in this episode?
Well, I think Gideon's going, and I think it's. And I hope it's a because I don't think that we can have this carry on again with him. I don't think we can do another like. Be the bad guy for the third season. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think it's kind of got to be something where we move forward. And because it's pushing forward with the narrative of the project Necromancer, which is a hilarious freaking title that they did. I'm like, in my video, I even had like, I said Project Necromancer. I had to put that. I put the gif of Sheev going cackling because that's right. All I could think of when I heard that. And I think there may be something more to that. And I wonder if it'll be like one of those moments where in the final moment, you know how like bad guys a lot of times like to confess everything when they're dying.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wonder if he's going to do some kind of like confession moment where he says, you have no idea what's coming. You think the emperor's gone. He's not.
Right.
He is, you know, and then it becomes a thing where they maybe Bo-Katan or these people, you know, maybe become involved in the hunt for this kind of thing. I don't know why they would, but maybe they would. But if anybody of significance dies besides Gideon, in the armor, if she's a spy, I hope it's not, but it could be Bo-Katan, and that would make me sad.
Gosh, I hope not. That would suck.
Because
Amanda loves her.
Yes. Don't you think Grogu sees her as mom?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, the happy ending is that, you know, Din and Bo, like, they raise Grogu together and they rebuild Mandalore and all that stuff. But, like, but Star Wars doesn't really let us have those happy endings, so.
No. Okay. Well, let's talk about this then.
Mm-hmm.
Din Djarin, Liv, right?
Yes. Okay. I think so for sure.
Din Djarin, helmet comes off?
Yes.
Okay.
Either on his own accord or maybe Moff Gideon takes it off of him, like as like an insult.
All right. Din Djarin, why did Gideon want to keep him alive and take him? What does he want from him?
That was weird to me. Because it kind of felt just like a plot hole when it happened.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, about the only thing, one thing they could do with that is just like we needed him to be alive for the next episode. Mm-hmm. We need to have a cliffhanger out of this one. Mm-hmm. And here's how you do it.
Yeah.
But that seems unlikely.
I mean, now, what would they need to debrief him about? Like unless how they to control literally Grogu? Mean
take his underwear off.
Yeah. We're here to see that wiener. Take it out. Yeah.
So,
this is the way.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. Here's the thing, though. Let me just throw this out at you.
Okay.
We're talking about the thing with the armor and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, listen, people. Of course, if you're listening to this early and you haven't seen the Mandalorian season finale yet, stay off of social media because someone will ruin it for you.
Oh, they can't
you
wait.
Have my
salivating.
Absolute promise.
Yes.
They can't wait. They can't wait to do it. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Having said that, I just finished watching Lost.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got through it, huh?
I did. And I want to say, I enjoyed the show. Okay. But I've mentioned it before. There was 1,000% a stretch where they're like, I don't know. Just maybe throw this in there.
Yeah, see what happens.
And very little of it made sense. And that was like really season 3, to be fair. But there was some of it otherwise that they just never really had to explain. They never sewed it up in a way that was satisfying. And there's definite chance that, like, now I don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
After watching that, it's like, what if they do this? What if they're like, meh, I don't know. And if that's what they do, that's fine. That's fine and dandy. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to watch it in the morning before I go to work because there's no way I can just sit on it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, what do you think is going to happen though? Like, do you have a prediction? Do you think Gideon goes?
Possibly.
Did they finally cut the head off the snake?
So I'll tell you a wild one. Okay, I haven't seen anybody mention this. And listen, I want to preface this with, I don't think this is what's going to happen.
Okay.
But if you really wanted to have a major twist,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If you really wanted to upend this thing and flip it all on its head, is it turns out that Gideon's the spy. That he's ultimately really trying to stop the emperor's plan. And he's pulling Din Djarin in to debrief him to say, listen, I am in a position where I can't not fight your people. But this is what's going on. And what I was trying to do with little green junior man out there was find a way to stop Palpatine, to come up with something that could stop him. Mm-hmm. And that would be a big twist.
That'd be what a twist indeed that would be.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that that's what I think they'll do. But, I mean, the way it's written, it's a definite possibility because you can see where I'm coming from as far as he really has no choice but to go ahead and fight the Mandalorians because they'll be on to him in a second. Mm-hmm. The Shadow Council will. And there's no way he can fight them. There's no way he can, you know.
I mean, he did mention that maybe new leadership is needed when he was in the council.
Yeah,
he did. He did. The fact that he didn't kill Din Djarin right then and there is kind of crazy.
Yep. I agree.
But the and he seems to have a major admiration for the Mandalorians, even though he was a part of this directly destroying all of them. He did mention that the whole line about how he goes every people has their qualities from the cloners to the Jedi to the Mandalorians. I'm going to take all of their basically their technologies or their systems and make them into one army that will bring order to the galaxy.
Right.
What the hell does that mean? I have no idea. But I know he seems to like not like I thought he would have been more involved with Project Necromancer, but it kind of seems like he's not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's tough to say. I feel like in this situation, he's a bit of a wild card. Because we really don't know what his ultimate agenda is. Because he does seem like somebody who would be walking this line, and it's really all about himself, really about all what he needs and what you need. What you need. I don't know, man. I just want to watch it. That's what I want to do. I want to just watch it and experience it and try to go in as unencumbered by my own ideas as possible.
Yeah, I've been trying to. I really have. I've been trying to like erase this because it seems too obvious that the possibility that the Armorer could be the spy or the betrayer of the whole thing. And I hate it, but like it's just at the same time, like there's just too many damn breadcrumbs with it. And all of a sudden going along with so many things that seems to be against who she is.
Right.
So bizarre. Her all of a sudden, I got to take these wounded people back to how are these people wounded? What happened? Why are they wounded? Like they were just there on that ship. Had they been wounded for years? What happened?
Right. And yeah. I mean, yeah.
And it just all seemed like, and it happened right before they were going right where Gideon was. It was just so bizarre. And like I said, that whole ramp up, I was like, because I was sitting there freaking out, like, man, I hope, because I'm assuming all the Mandalorians went with them eventually, right? On all those ships, like, everybody are there. It seemed like they all went.
Yeah, that's like, what I would assume.
And I was like, and I remember them being really like really emphasizing on the fact about the bombers Gideon won in the beginning. And I was like, man, please tell me they're bombing those ships with all those kids in them and shit like that. Like I was freaking out about it. And then like, you know, because the last thing we need to see is that happening. And when she burst through the clouds, they were just sitting there, nothing, and there was no problem. She was going to the ship, no problem. I fully expected them to be attacking the ships.
Yeah.
And when it didn't happen and they built all that tension up, I was like, well, that just makes this whole thing more bizarre.
It does. Yeah, you're right. But it does make it bizarre. I don't know, man.
They just don't seem to be really taking that many they are taking some chances here and there, but they seem to have overall played this season pretty safe. And that may be intent. I mean, if that's intentional to have a big payoff in the very last episode, then okay, I guess that's one way to play it. But a lot of people haven't been super thrilled with the season because it just kind of seems that a lot of times it felt like they were kind of lost with what to do now, because they, like, you could tell, like, their whole plan was, okay, we got to get Grogu to a Jedi. And then Lucasfilm was like, wait, Grogu makes a lot of money, so how are you going to bring him back to Jedi?
Right, yeah, you need to fix this, stupid.
Yeah. So let's interrupt Boba Fett and make that happen, you know. And while I enjoyed that episode quite a bit, it was the whole time I was like, hey, he's back with them? It's so strange. And erases all of the great buildup that moment was, and the fight they got through, the fight Gideon to get Luke Skywalker on the ship, and all the awesome cool shit Luke Skywalker did to get to them and everything else. And then it was just like, oh, okay, well, it doesn't really matter, I guess.
I can't wait to reenact that with my $350 Luke Skywalker hot toy.
Doesn't it come with like a cutting a half Death Trooper or something?
Yeah, something. I don't know. It comes with a box full of regrets, what it comes with. But listen, it's my own fault. Don't cry for me, Argentina. Oh,
we didn't mention it though, but you and I both got something that was not a box of regret, and that was a gift from Josh Chapman via Sean Hoffman. That was our Star Wars spelt out beanies from this celebration in England this year. That is correct. Yeah, and when I first saw it, and I saw it was the Return of the Jedi colors, like, oh, you got to send me one of those. You guys find some way. Did you get some stickers from Chris Hall and stuff too?
I did.
The Return of the Jedi hand. That was pretty cool.
And so listen.
Yeah.
While we're talking about awesome things and getting them, our good friend Haas Burkhart over at Blue Harvest Podcast and the High Potion Podcast, he unboxed the saber that I made for him today. Mm-hmm. And on his stream, so go to his Twitch channel and watch it. Yeah. It was quite good. It was cool to see him. And my favorite moment was when he found this special font that I had installed on the saber. It was the best moment. And I only told two people about it ahead of time because they helped me like make it happen. It was quite satisfying. And I'm trying to think if I have a way to play it.
Yeah. Or you could just go watch it at Blue Harvest Pod on Twitch.
You could. You could do that. But it's pretty great watching his face and watching him. It's just quite good. That's all I'm going to say. That lightsaber turned out great. And I want to, again, personally thank everybody who helped make that happen, because it couldn't have happened without everybody. And anyway, yeah.
And most importantly, it couldn't happen without you, man. Like, you have to give yourself a little pat on the back. Like, you did a lot of hard labor hours into that thing. You really put your best foot forward on it, and you really tried hard. And you not tried hard, but you did very well, and you fought through. adversities on it and everything else. And we all got to watch it. And I thought it was really cool. And it's one of those things that really makes me glad to be your friend, is that like you do such things. Like it was a selfless act, and it was very cool.
What's wild is that from a lightsaber building standpoint, I mean, I learned quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I ended up having to essentially redo a big chunk of it once I like made a discovery that, oh, it would be much more efficient if it worked like this. Mm-hmm. So here I have a finished thing that I ended up taking back apart and had a hairball moment where, you know, I used E6000 glue and I had to use my heat gun to loosen the glue. Well, that chassis is 3D printed plastic. Mm-hmm. And at one point I realized, oh man, I made this part super soft. And luckily, once it cools off, it's hardened again, but now it's misshapen and I had to like massage it out, and I got it. And it's nice. It is very nice. So mm-hmm. Hot darn, I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah.
Super but cool. Yeah, it's very cool. And it's sort of, pardon the pun, reignited my passion for building lightsabers. And it's something that I may get back into. And I really enjoyed streaming it.
Yeah.
I wish I had a more efficient setup, but I'm going to work on a couple of things that might help with that. And what I really want is if anybody, like a wealthy benefactor, wants to get me a video screen microscope that's for soldering, specifically for soldering, because usually they'll have an LCD with it, and then it outputs HDMI. So what I would do is video capture that and do the close work on that, and that would be on the stream instead of me trying to position it to where you could see the soldering happen. It would be neat. It would be quite neat. And all it takes is your help. I feel like it's a telethon. So, yeah, something to think
for
about.
For four easy payments of $299, you can sponsor an Eric Strothers near you.
There were some pretty decent ones for less, for sub $200. But I don't want to spend $200. I had to buy a new soldering iron. That was a bummer. But I needed a new one anyway, so whatever.
And I mean, and now you're foregoing your kid's college to pay for this Luke Skywalker hot toy. So, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. But what are you going to do? But so, yeah, there's The Mandalorian. And by the time you hear this episode, you'll get to find out how far off we were, how spot on we were.
Yeah. I honestly kind of hope that I am off. Like, I hope that they didn't go so obvious. I hope they actually took a chance.
Well, and my thing is this. You sort of hit on what I was thinking as far as I suspect you're probably right. I just don't want you to be right. Yeah. And not because I don't want you to be right, Luke Cruiser, I hate you. It's well, I mean, don't facts, want but... the armor to be bad.
Yeah, because she has had a lot of endearing moments, right? You know, as far as like, you know, saying that he and Grogu were a clan of two, and you know, given the sigil of the Mudhorn, and but I remember whenever Bo-Katan told the Armorer about the Mythosaur and the way she reacted. I was like really put off by it. It was almost as if she was like, oh, this is a missing piece of my puzzle. And because she's kind of like, yeah, we see lots of visions whenever you seek the way. She's like, no, it wasn't the vision. No, it's really fucking there, man. Like, and she's just like, this is the way. She's like, okay. And then the next episode, she's like, well, you saw the Mythosaur. And that's a sign. And she's like, she's all turns into like this weird, she just, her whole like aura changed. And it was like she saw like an opening. I have always felt like since the first time we saw her, I'm like, man, there is something up with this lady and I need to know what it is. And you're not going to tell me your name is not the Armorer. You have a name and we need to know what the hell it is. And there's a reason why we don't know. And what is that reason?
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, listen, people, I really appreciate you coming through and listening to our ramblings about this. And yeah, come back next week where you'll get to hear us say, we told you, even though we were probably completely wrong, because what we'll do is we'll go back and edit this episode to make it sound like we were right the whole time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We all know that's not going to happen because, boy, that's a lot of work.
Oof. Yeah.
But yeah.
It'll cost the Pat Motors for nothing. It's not for effort. Jeez.
You got that right. Cruz, you got anything to add to this, man, before we bounce, before we split?
No, I just want to say that I'm super excited for this. The Mandalorian's been my favorite thing about Star Wars in the last several years, whether it's ups and downs, weird choices they've made or whatever. I have enjoyed the characters. I've enjoyed the stories. I've enjoyed the time that it's in. I wish they were able to maybe continue on the story that they wanted to tell. Kind of seems like they weren't at times, but they kind of had, but they're, you know, Jon Favreau is a creative storyteller and he's, you know, made the best out of the situation he could. And, you know, I don't know if there was much strife, but it kind of feels like there was a little bit.
Yeah.
I just hope that they're able to pull off a meaningful ending to this season. And part of me wonders, and I know he said it wasn't going to be, but part of me wonders if this is going to be the last season of The Mandalorian. It kind of like, because of all the stuff they have coming up, you know? And I don't know, maybe not. I forget, at some point somebody said that the creators, you know, Filoni and Favreau said that this was no longer Din Djarin's show, it was Bo-Katan's or something like that. And I'm like, I don't know about that, but regardless, I hope we have more Din Djarin because I feel like he's an endearing character who has a lesson to teach people, you mm-hmm. know, about not being so stuck in your ways. At least that was his message until this season.
Right.
Being so stuck in your ways that you can't see the light and see past yourself for the love of somebody else. And I think that's a good message to carry. And I think he's been a great character. The people who played him in the suit have been fantastic. And of course, Pedro Pascal has carried the voice extremely well.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, listen, I think you hit it on the head. You know, we do have to just remember that we've heard Favreau say that season 4 is written and I'm already working on season 5 and blah, 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 and this and that. But, you know, that could all be smoke. It could be, well, that's really the movie. And now that they're talking about like how the movies are going to go back to having opening crawls and all that, hooray. Because then they can, it'll just be neat. But if all the opening crawls say somehow Palpatine returned somewhere in them, that'd be really helpful for me.
It'd be hilarious.
Hilariously terrible. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, listen, guys. Check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. Like we mentioned, check out TeePublic and Redbubble. Follow us on Twitter @bad_motivators. Check out the show description for links to Cruiser streaming on Twitch and me streaming on Twitch. And yeah, man, there's nothing left to say except this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. Oh, and she broke up with her boyfriend. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
The Bad Motivators.